The Dave Damaschek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damaschek.
Hi and hello and happy holidays, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Damaschek Football Program. Welcome to NFL Week 16. Happy holidays, like I say. The festivities are ready to begin.
House, I've never seen it looking so good, Dave.
Yeah, if you're listening, I'm sorry for you because your eyes, if you're watching on YouTube, I don't have to tell you. You're
beautiful
seeing,
menorah.
I mean, yep. It couldn't be more festive.
It really is. Right. And Mrs. Damaschek was just in here passing around some holiday treats.
Delicious.
And some hot toddies. That was fantastic.
We're
Thank
all loaded.
You.
Let's not make everybody jealous. Let's say hello to everybody here. In not Studio 66, in the Damaschek living room, as we get ready for NFL Week 16. First of all, we'll say hello to the voice of the Los Angeles Chargers, one half of the finest radio show in all the land, Petros and Money. Track that down on iHeartRadio. You watch him on NFL Now, Thursdays and Fridays all through the season. It's Matt Money Smith. What's happening, fella?
I'm just excited by the holiday fair.
Yeah?
I get excited. The missus did a bang-up job here. In the living room.
Hey, Money, do you guys have a family tradition for the holidays? What do you do? What happens in the Money household?
You know what? We really don't. Oh. Normally, we go out, get a tree, decorate it. We just moved a week ago, so our house is our life is kind of turned upside down. So we have no tree right now. We don't know.
You have no tree.
No, we just moved. Exactly. Actually, just a week and a day ago. So we went shopping for a tree, and all the lots were closed. I was like, wait a minute. It's 9 o'clock at night. Why is a tree lot closed? I'm a guy who works late.
What about obviously in your past career, you were a music producer. I always forget what your...
Promoter.
Promoter, I'm sorry.
Yeah, promoter. Producer's
different.
You were involved in the music biz.
Exactly.
At the point. What? Give me real quick, 1, 2, 3 Christmas songs. What are the best?
Oh, three, probably the Christmas song, Nat King Cole, would be my favorite.
How's that one go?
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
That's the Christmas
song?
That
should have a better name.
At your nose.
Yeah. Or on the other chestnuts. Hand, on the other hand, it's arrogant.
Right.
It's the Christmas
yes.
song. All
the
other
Christmas
back
songs.
Off.
Right. Exactly
yeah.
right. That's probably top of the pops for me. I've always liked the Little Drummer Boy. I've always been to some...
You do?
Yeah, I do. Even though Bing's a terrible person, just the video of he and Bowie doing it together always kind of tickled my fancy. You know, leaning on the piano, Bowie's falsetto comes in. I've always appreciated that. And for whatever reason, I think, just to kind of round it out, full spectrum, I love the sound effect of the whip in Sleigh Ride. For some reason, as a child, that always stood out to me.
Specific just to that song?
Yeah, just to
just
that
like
song when
sound.
You hear, it's lovely weather, we'll sleigh ride together with you. It's like, yeah, we're on a sleigh and we're moving.
They injected that into the song. Yeah, I like all the music,
Yeah, it's great.
I unironically enjoy pretty much every single Christmas song out there, even the Paul McCartney
one. Oh, that's the worst one ever.
I know people
worst
hate it. I'm fine with
song
that.
It's not good.
Ever.
I like the Don Ho one.
Love Don Ho.
I like the Peggy Lee jazz. That's the
Peggy
best.
Peggy Lee's one of the best.
Rocking around the Christmas tree.
One of the all-time greats.
That really might be my number one. Handsome Hank. Lo, let's say hello to him as well.
Happy holidays.
Do they celebrate Christmas in...
Yeah, we
is
do.
That right?
We do have Christmas. it's pretty exciting. They have Christmas
traditions.
There. And we just call it Christmas.
Is it Santa fat, though? Because I know in some parts of the world, the Santa is not heavy set.
Oh, no. Well, we call him Father Christmas.
You do?
Santa. I don't know where Santa... We call him Father Christmas. And it's the same idea. It's still St. Nick.
He's bringing you good stuff.
He's still bringing you good stuff.
Why is he Chris Kringle? Yes. Where did the Chris Kringle business come
deal.
From?
That's a U.S.
So that's also
I've never heard of Chris Kringle before.
What's
I mean,
Christmas?
They're all the same guy. He's just got a bunch of different nicknames.
Right. He's in a red suit and he's got toys. Right. Let's
Before
go.
Before I forget,
yeah,
I want to say...
He flies.
I want to not just self-promote, but promote my youngins. Game day morning this Sunday, be on the lookout. If you remember Football Baby from a few years back, the wizard of picking football games.
All grown up now.
Well, not all the way. No.
Smoking now, right?
He's only 5.
Does he have to pack of Marlboros per day?
Oh, smoking now, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's driving with one hand on the wheel and the other hand free for the
that's
chicks.
Celebrity. That's
nice
celebrity.
Marlboro
that's celebrity. Just
hey,
went
Matt
to his
Money
head.
Smith can't be calling football games forever. Somebody's got to
exactly
take
right.
over for him eventually.
Get some gravel in that voice of yours, young man.
But yes, he and his little sister, 5 and 3 years old, are they're helping. They're really doing a solid thing in the spirit of the season. They're helping fans of teams who aren't going to the playoffs. They're giving them a new playoff team to root for so that they can stay engaged.
That's very nice. Okay.
So watch for
that. That's a gift.
Yeah, watch for that on game day morning. Handsome, worst Christmas special.
Worst Christmas special.
Do you have those? Did you get Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all those?
Not like that. More like TV shows would do
variety
a special
show.
Version
right.
of their show. I always kind of enjoyed them.
You know what's weird? Probably have an English say it for you. Santa has an English accent.
I mean, not just for me, for everyone.
Santa. I'm very good behind the table. Very good.
Your behavior was rubbish.
You've been a very naughty boy. I think Santa might have an issue with you, actually.
Really?
Exactly.
Although,
right.
Well, I mean, partly because you're impersonating him with that.
How dare you? I'm nice and I'm relatively thin.
Boy, oh boy.
What, dude?
I am caught in the crossfire here. Let me tell you.
I'll tell you, the correct answer, by the way, is you mentioned one's health, in broad strokes. The worst one is a year without Santa. Heat Miser obscures a lot of, I'm Mr. Heat Miser. It's a snappy tune. And so people think the overall special is okay, but it is not. It's
right.
Basically like the whole, it's like a lot of shots of Santa in bed. He can't go out. So like, it's the story of terminally ill Santa Claus. It's a very weird message for the kids.
But a hell of a song.
But the worst of them all, you know what? I'll tell it to you now.
I thought that
we're
was
just gonna. I thought we're about to pack up because I've. Yeah. Yeah. You know this one?
No.
The worst of them all?
It better not be what I think it is.
What?
It better not be the whole Rudolph and his old man making him put that up.
Just money. Just indulge him.
I'm not, you know what?
Tell
I'm
us,
not
Dave.
Even going to jump into
Dave,
it.
Dave, tell us.
And then after that, let's talk about some great.
I'll
candy.
Do that. Yeah. I mean, just all I'll tell you is the first scene of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yes.
It's in the cave.
Right.
Moments, seconds after the birth
after
of Rudolph.
After the birth of Rudolph.
Yeah,
and his mama and his father, Donner, who's, famous, Donner, one of the famous reindeer.
Although not the most famous.
Donner?
Like Donner and then like Joseph, father of Jesus, since we're
same
talking
thing.
About both kind of like...
Same level.
A little obscured.
Same basic level.
Well, technically, Joseph's not the father of...
Well, that's a good point. I mean, and
I'm just saying,
Yeah, the earthly.
We're being technical about it.
Well,
he's just kind of a dude that was there.
He just happened
just
to be
like,
Donner,
here's
though.
Making time, we're married.
Here's to me.
Yeah. Sorry, Dave, sorry.
No,
sorry.
No, no, please.
Sorry to disrupt.
Please, no, that's right, please. I like the monologue. No. In a cave, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is born.
Yep.
His parents see him. They don't know that he's going to go on to have a red nose. They're just happy to have an infant child, clearly their own. And they say, what will we call him? And Donner just declares to his old lady, it's Rudolph. And she's like, that's a fine name for a baby. Then his nose turns on. Rudolph, turns on. And Donner's like, we got to hide that. We can't let Santa find out about this nose because Santa will never let him fly in the sleigh. That's your first thought at the sight of your own child. The miracle of birth is delivered into your cave. And your first thought is, the old man who runs the shop ain't going to be happy about it. And then, sure enough, Santa comes in, ho, 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 and he makes his way into the cave. What?
I just looked at Hank and I was like, hey, here we go. We're doing the whole
That's
thing.
That's right. We're doing it. Because it needs to be called out for as many years as this.
Not just one little slice.
No way.
Santa
comes in. He's like, let me see this future member of my team.
Let's get the camera just
And then all of a sudden.
Can I get my single, please? Yeah. Not mine, Dave.
And all of a sudden, Rudolph's nose goes bright again.
Yep.
And Santa, again, this isn't even his child to disparage. He's like, well, you better fix that up, Donner, or else he's not going to be on my team. What a creep this old fat man is that he's in here ripping the little baby reindeer. Can't let his mama enjoy the gift that was just delivered from the reindeer gods. And then, without any warning, Santa just launches into a song about himself. Like, this is this family special moment. I am old Kris Kringle. I'm the king of jingling. What are you singing about? We just had a baby 90 seconds ago, Santa. Then 45 minutes
then?
Later. 45 minutes
going.
Later.
45 minutes
45
later.
45 minutes later, Santa, who, by the way, it's his shop. So let's not blame some middle manager in the toy making place where Dennis is making the toys and the misfit toys get shipped off to this island like they're a bunch of lepers. This is Santa, the buck stops with him. And he's allowing He's prejudiced against these poor misshapen toys, and they all get shipped off to some island where Santa doesn't have to think about them any longer. And then after all these misdeeds by Santa, and right at the end, oh, it's cloudy outside. Hey, Rudolph, let's let bygones be bygones. Won't you fly my sleigh tonight? Rudolph should have said, hey, screw. You should have thought of that earlier before you started ripping on me. Yes, Santa's sir. A jerk in that right. show.
And that's all we've got time for.
It's been a thin slice of heaven. Of why Santa is a jerk in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah. But that's one of my favorite Damashek bits of all time. This is officially... It's 2000.
I never thought of it.
It's 2019, which means that's the ninth time I've heard that story.
I don't like any of it. You know what?
You don't like any of it?
I'm a man of justice.
You don't like any of it. You don't like Hermie.
Rudolph is weird.
You don't like saving the Island of Misfit Toys. You don't like. I understand the Island of Misfit Toys. You know, if Santa's the guy that's delivering the goods, and I wake up and my doll's got an arm growing out of its chest, I'm gonna be pretty pissed.
Right.
I'd rather that doll end up on an island than in a box and under my tree.
800 Santa. Hey, we got a problem here, Santa. You're going to need to come back and pick this thing up.
It doesn't seem in the spirit of things. And again, whose watch is it on? It's on Santa's watch that these misfit toys are happening. And he says, I don't want to have to deal with it. I don't want to have to talk about it. Send them away. Send them off so I needn't deal with it.
It's a little bit like the hats that the Super Bowl, you know, they produce for the Super Bowl.
Right.
That then don't get used. You know,
where do they go?
The Rams Super Bowl winning hat. They go to the kind of the island of
Misfit Toys. Exactly right.
Yeah, same thing.
I don't care for any of it. It bothers me. I'm a man of justice, and it makes me uncomfortable to say it. But
what you said, you're 10.
Santa's a jerk in this show.
How many years has this bit been going?
Oh,
20?
At least 20.
30? How old were you when you first
did you add bits to it? Like, once you realized that this was going well, were you like, okay, I think I can do more here? Like,
I can bring in the misfit toys. Santa runs the shop. His name's on it.
Say a good 30 years that I've been calling out Santa's
Where did you first try it? Around the table at
Mo Damashek, my sisters, kept talking.
And it went well, presumably. I mean, like, it's not like your mom's ever gonna say, "No, Dave, I don't think that bit's gonna work."
It's
a good bit.
I speak truth to power. It makes people uneasy, including the man in the mirror. But it doesn't mean it doesn't
including
need
Santa.
To still doesn't need to be said. That's right. That's exactly right. All right, listen. Let's now talk about pro football, shall we?
Okay.
And specifically, let's get into this week's edition of Fresh Takes, presented once again by our pals over at Zaxby's, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads.
Any Christmas fare at Zaxby's?
Sure.
Anything I can get there that's...
Christmas chicken fingers.
Okay.
They're delicious.
Okay.
Chock-full holiday cheer.
Christmas.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Fingers.
Speaking of old men, Drew Brees is in the news because he just broke Peyton Manning's touchdown record, and now it has launched a rolling conversation about where Drew Brees ranks on the all-time list. Let's modify all-time list into Super Bowl era, as I constantly say. Who cares what happened in 1942 when pro football was a minor league sport? The modern era of pro football begins with the Super Bowls, maybe a little bit prior to that with the AFL and NFL rivalry in the 60s. But either way, let's address it over the last 50-plus-ish years. In the Super Bowl era, I start with you, Matt Money Smith. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees.
Right.
We're not going to do this in a vacuum either.
No.
Where do you rank him all time?
He's there.
Who's ahead of him in your book? That's the way to figure it out.
Who's ahead of him? Tom Brady.
One.
Joe Montana.
Two.
John Elway.
Three. That's the one that a lot of people are saying, well, Drew Brees is obviously superior. I was on social media earlier this week.
I saw that, yeah.
And a lot of people, and I suspect younger people who didn't actually see
John
Elway play.
They got the back end of John Elway.
Right.
Right. Are declaring, well, obviously he's better. Look at Elway's numbers. They're junk.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I think, you know, Dan Marino's an interesting one. And I guess this is kind of where time and place comes into context, right? You know, an impressionable youngster when I'm watching Marino and what I'm tempted to put Marino ahead of him.
I do too. 1984.
I'm more than tempted. I'm doing it.
I think I am. Yeah, I think I'm putting Marino ahead of him.
Marino 84, Aaron Rodgers 2011. Peyton had 1 year in there. I'm trying to think of what year
it was. I mean, the guy's got 5,000-yard seasons. Like, I appreciate Aaron Rodgers 2011. Like, I'm not putting Aaron Rodgers ahead of him. I'm just not.
Yeah, that's the one where, like...
Like, hey, way to go. You got a great arm. You're not as good a quarterback as Drew Brees.
2-3 years ago, I think Aaron Rodgers, we would have sat here and probably said, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is ahead of him. Now, I would say Brees
is a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers.
Drew Brees is a better quarterback.
Exactly. Here's it. Well, versus Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, it fits neatly
into the same. I think he's a better quarterback than Brett Favre.
Well, I mean, I think both those guys that have spent, or, you know, Brett Favre, obviously, I don't know if you heard, but he played for the Vikings and Jets at the tail end there, but the vast majorities of their combined careers are spent in Lambeau and road games in Chicago and Minnesota before, well, they've
totally
been under the dome the whole time.
Not to mention with Sean Payton, arguably the best play caller of his era.
And look through, I mean, just look through the numbers, I'm not condemning Drew Brees. Obviously, he went to a team that plays all its games in a dome, and they play the Falcons in a dome, and they play in Tampa Bay once a year where it's at least warm. So, I mean, I don't know how much you can blame Drew Brees for this, but numbers of quarterbacks go up when you're in a dome versus outdoors, let alone
but at the same time,
cold.
Those guys are practicing outdoors. They're practicing in the cold. They're more used to the elements. When he shows up
in
those elements, it's like, okay, this is different. Because I don't have to deal with
it
every day.
I'm not even denigrating Brees for not performing as well outdoors.
I'm saying
if you put any of those guys in a dome, what would their numbers be?
We assume.
Over the course of a career, you can inflate their numbers significantly.
That's fair. And I think, you know, he didn't always have the best players around him.
No.
Like the talent around
him. I think that's
him
the difference.
And he made them all better.
And he made some of those guys better.
Yeah. Look at Jimmy Graham. Drew Brees versus Jimmy Graham with Brees.
I think
He didn't have defenses as well for a lot of his career. That Saints defense,
right.
I mean, now where it is better than it's probably ever been during the Brees Peyton era.
What do you think, Handsome? The name Marino comes up. I'll let you as the Dan Marino lover. You came to love the Miami Dolphins as a young Englishman watching 13, the turquoise and orange, or aqua, as you
aqua.
Call it.
Aqua,
as you call it.
Aqua.
Go ahead. Marino v. Brees. How say you?
Well, I mean, they're pretty similar for that reason. Neither of them had the talent around them. I have made the claim that I think Don Shula, A, was at the time a very bad general manager.
I think this is a great point that no one ever, I've never heard anyone else call this out, and if you look into it, you're kind of right about it.
The drafts that followed Marino all the way to the end of Shula's career, which was another decade, were, they missed every single time on the players. I mean, he drafted no one. He didn't have good weapons around him. Shula was past his prime at that point, and they were kept. Shula essentially had his career extended, I would say, by about 6 or 7 years
because
he had
Marino
at quarterback. Therefore, there's an equivalence on skill position players and defenses between both teams. But Brees had Sean Payton, who's, you know, probably one of the three best play callers of the last two decades. And Marino had Shula, who was clinging on, and a bunch of other bums.
I think that, to me, the most interesting one is Peyton.
That's the one.
Yep.
Like,
that's
where you can have a fun 50-50. You can make a case for either. I will not, you know, besmirch you, whichever name you decide to go with. But I would take Brees over Peyton.
I agree with you about that. First of all, just to round out the Marino point, I think it's right, and we've talked about this a number of times, but why should I not mention it again after I just went through the whole Santa story again?
Sure, yeah.
Dan Marino, the story about him is he never won a Lombardi, but what did he have? He had crummy defenses largely, and who were his skill guys? He never had a running back. But the Marx brothers, Mark Clayton and Mark Duper, and then later O.J. McDuffie, are all superior to anyone John Elway had in the 80s. Until Shannon Sharpe arrives to play that hybrid tight end spot for him, his pass catchers were Vance Johnson, Steve Watson, and Mark Jackson. They are all worse than the Marx brothers were.
Right.
And Elway, the distinction between Elway and Marino, people who weren't lucid during that era, say, well, it was better because he got those Lombardis. Of course, those are owed to Terrell Davis more than they are to Elway. The most significant thing Elway did was drag those bum or those mediocre Broncos teams.
But they were mediocre.
Three Super Bowls.
They were mediocre Broncos offenses. I agree with that. But the defense that
they were,
he had
they were
there,
pretty good. They had Steve Atwater.
They had Steve Atwater, Carl Mecklenburg. They had a bunch of players that were, you know, that were perhaps underrated in that time, but were perfectly good. Marino's defense. I mean, he had no one.
I'm just making the point that if you let Marino off the hook for that, I think that Elway deserves.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I mean,
same consideration.
I would elevate Elway in this conversation.
And those Browns teams of the curse and all that kind of stuff that hangs over Kosar and now Baker Mayfield and everybody in between. Those Browns teams should have beaten the Broncos, and Elway is the reason that they couldn't beat them. But okay, money's point. Peyton Manning. I think if you really take a step back, they are comparable guys. Their numbers line up.
Dome guys.
Right. The difference is Peyton, from the day he walked into the building, had Marshall Faulk, and then he gets Marvin Harrison,
Reggie Wayne.
Dallas Clark, who was a great tight end for a long time.
And the Saints, you know, no doubt that they have attempted to provide Drew Brees with
Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis. Like, you look at the defenses that he had as well.
Bob Sanders.
First of all, it's fraudulent to say that they never had any good defenses in Indy. Obviously, they did. But Bill Polian conceded a few years ago, we had to construct this team for Peyton. Maybe we made a mistake in doing that and not trying to flesh out a more fulsome roster on all on the three units. But Peyton required those pieces to thrive. Drew Brees, until Michael Thomas arrives, and you mentioned Jimmy Graham, outside of that.
Well, Marcus Colston was pretty darn good, but that's because of Brees.
But Marcus Colston, that's his number one
receiver.
That's his
number one guy.
Marcus Colston? What would that guy have
been
without
him? It's not that the Saints weren't trying to acquire players for him. It's just that most of them didn't work out. They spent a lot of picks on
Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush never really took off there, or at least not to the extent that everyone expected him to. But it wasn't that they weren't trying to do that. They also had a defense that they were trying to build throughout that time that they largely whiffed on as well.
Yeah, I just think that Breeze, the dome stuff, and I've perpetuated that as much as anybody. That, you know, the splits, the home road splits, and you're right, money, obviously, if you're not practicing in that regularly, it is going to be a curveball to get used to. But the big distinction that favors Brees is who has he played with on his side of the ball over the course of his career. Finally, as Kamara and Michael Thomas. But until, you know, the last couple few years, Drew Brees was really carrying that offense. The primary knock on him, besides the home road splits, is, and the elevated numbers from playing the vast majority of his games in domes, is three straight losing seasons and five overall. There's not very much evidence in the 21st century that you can be a high-end Hall of Fame level quarterback and have protracted losing stretches.
Well, he's definitely a whole
Phil Rivers, Eli Manning, and Drew Brees are the only three you can point to.
One of those was no Sean Payton. One of those was the Aaron Cromer, you get suspended for a year, just complete crap show of a season. Yeah. That was one of the 7-9. So if you take that out, I'm saying if you have Payton, if you don't have that distraction, chances are that's not a 7-9 season. And then you have, a winning, you don't have even two in a row, so...
The other thing about Drew Brees that, like, obviously not on the field, but what he did for New Orleans after Katrina, and the team was a laughing stock for most of its history up until that point. I mean, he completely, with Sean Payton, reversed the fortunes of the New Orleans Saints.
Right.
They were a joke, and they're now perennially one of the better teams in the NFC.
I'll tell you two things that straddling the 40 years or so. The era that we're kind of talking about, I do think that it's really hard to summon a case at this point. The numbers are so egregiously different. It would be hard for me to make a case for Terry Bradshaw. I mean, it's completely, the numbers are so out of whack. I mean, he had a year where he didn't complete 50% of his passes. But Roger Staubach, if you dropped him into 2019, if you dropped him into 1998 or otherwise, he would have been a high-end quarterback, and I think he deserves some consideration from that early stretch of that would translate into more modern-day football, Staubach more than anybody else, although I do think Terry Bradshaw, if you put him on the right team with that whip.
Steve Young to me. Steve Young's the one that's always the wild card for me.
Well, Steve Mariucci and David Carr will both tell you, guys who know about quarterback, and will tell you that Steve Young was better than Joe Montana.
Yeah, don't get David Carr in more trouble with...
I know. He thinks Joe Montana isn't a top 10 Super Bowl quarterback, which is a little loco, but okay. And then you consider the modern guys who are getting left off. Patrick Mahomes, you know, too soon to be evaluating him, but I also think, 7 years from now, isn't he
I don't know, because we had this conversation 7 years ago, and you and it was hard to argue with you at the time, put Aaron Rodgers in there, but like now we're saying that Aaron Rodgers probably isn't in there.
He peaked a couple years ago, I think, in this conversation of greatest of all time, and now he's sliding.
And then the other one is, and I'm not going to say Ben Roethlisberger, but...
In both cases, you mentioned Bradshaw and Roethlisberger.
You wanted to make a point about Staubach, but you had to mention Bradshaw, and now you're going to make a point about somebody else.
Whether people like or hate the fact that I invoke those names, people always will ask me after the fact, why didn't you mention
guys who wear black and gold? That's because they know you're a homer.
No,
why did you mention Bradshaw? You didn't have to. It was a point about
because
Staubach.
He made the
all
point
you had to do was say
Roger
you could
Staubach
drop Staubach into any
air,
and he'd have
been
fine.
I'll tell you why.
Because they're
rivals.
I
did, because about 3 years ago, I wrote a piece ranking by the decade what the perception likely
was. I remember,
it was
a great idea.
As of Super Bowl 10, as of Super Bowl 20 and beyond. As of Super Bowl 20, you would be hard-pressed to make a case for anyone other than Bradshaw as the best quarterback of the Super Bowl era. Four rings, now the numbers are completely thrown out of whack and everything else. But now you've dragged me
What
into
did
it.
You want to say about who's someone the, else the other, while
is Russell
using
Wilson.
The pretext of Brent Roethlisberger?
Why do we need to know about Brent Roethlisberger?
Where does Russell Wilson rank?
Why was Roethlisberger mentioned leading into Russell
because
Wilson?
Because
he didn't want to mention him. He doesn't want to talk about Brent
I didn't say I don't want to. I'm not
he
going to go down that.
Russell Wilson is not. Is.
Ben doesn't belong in the conversation.
Ben should not be included.
He doesn't. Now you're doing that to make me cross.
No, I'm not.
He doesn't belong in this conversation.
Ben Roethlisberger,
but Drew Brees does.
Yes,
but Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, it's not even on the same plane. It's ridiculous.
I don't think anyone outside of the next ten.
You know why you don't?
Only
you know
Steeler
why?
Fans would no, inject you know what him happens, into this conversation.
You know what happens?
What?
Just as the 1 week that the Ravens were on their bye this year, that all of a sudden, because Lamar Jackson was out of sight, out of mind for a handful of days. If you can tap into the computer and look at what the buzz was in that fortnight that the Ravens weren't playing, it's crazy how much everybody just forgot about Lamar Jackson in the MVP conversation. It quickly turned into, who's the MVP? Is it Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson? Like, what happened to Lamar Jackson? He's not playing this weekend.
Oh, you think because he's out this year?
I'm saying, yes, based on that in a more protracted way. Nah. Ben Roethlisberger's out this year,
it's laughable.
Like
that.
If he had 4,000 yards and this team... was tracking to the playoffs, we would absolutely be talking about
that. No, it's not. I mean, he's like the 20 to 30 list for me.
I think.
I'm with you.
Of the Super Bowl era.
You do, that is...
He's on the...
You know what?
He's maybe like somewhere between 17 and 30. And
you're the bizarro Booger McFarland. Booger cannot watch a game without declaring like, this young man is in the conversation
for
the best.
You brought him up, and he didn't belong in the conversation.
In our league, this man is in the conversation for best of the position. Just because you're watching a guy play this week, Booger, does not enter him into the conversation.
That's not what we're doing.
Ben Roethlisberger would 100% be in your top 20 if you sat down and started drawing.
Right now,
we're talking top
10.
This conversation,
somewhere between 17 and 30.
The Drew Brees conversation is top 10. This is a top 10 conversation, not a top 20 conversation.
We just wasted 10 minutes talking about Ben Roethlisberger.
Because you forced it. No, you didn't.
You mentioned him. You mentioned his name as you then went to Russell Wilson.
You scoundrels demanded this conversation.
Let's talk
and now
about
we're
Russell
into
Wilson because he's definitely ahead of Ben Roethlisberger.
See, why do you have to be that way? Russell Wilson it is. Russell Wilson, where is he? 3 more years? Because you know what? I had an epiphany. I picked the Cowboys. So did you, Handsome Hank. To go to the Super Bowl, I'm not jumping off that bandwagon just yet. Let's see what happens on Sunday. But in the meantime,
why would you?
I kind of feel like
there's no reason to jump off it yet.
Well, no, but I mean, I feel like, as we talked about the other day, Handsome, the Seahawks and Niners, where we started this decade, or, you know, by 2011, the two juggernauts of the NFC were the Hawks and Niners. And so it's fitting that we round out this decade in the same way. Those are the two best teams, I think, in the NFC right now. And I think if you had to make a pick, if Jadeveon Clowney is right, and it's a big question mark of how effective he's going to be, if he's right, I think they go to the Super Bowl. You know, if I go, and if they get to a Super Bowl, and Russell Wilson gets to three at this
and
point,
and wins two, maybe.
I mean, don't you think? I mean, is it Russell Wilson?
He's tracking. He's definitely tracking for top ten to
hit that list. Somewhere.
If you have to win a game, you know, regardless. I mean, the standard that I always lay out is the fate of the planet hangs in the balance for one game, and I can't tell you if it's going to be indoors or outdoors. I can't tell you what kind of defense you're facing. I can't tell you the quality of the guys on your side. You only get to pick the quarterback. Wouldn't everybody take Russell Wilson over Drew Brees at this point?
Just for what he'd do on the sideline.
Yes.
Excellent motivation, man! All those kind of things. That's what I want.
I mean, doesn't Russell Wilson finish his career in the top 6 to 8 quarterbacks that we've ever seen, or in the
Super Bowl era? Depending on what he winds up winning.
If he wins multiple Super Bowls.
In that 10 through 6
yeah.
range,
if he's on this trajectory where statistically he is a top 5
More in your gut. Whatever the deeds are when
gut,
he hangs
no
it
question.
Up, whatever's on the banner. I mean,
no question.
You watch Russell Wilson behind a cruddy offensive line for almost his entire career now. He hasn't
also
had
lack of
Lynch.
Talent at the skill positions.
Yeah. Doug Baldwin's his best pass catcher ever.
I mean, so look, we're having a positive conversation now, but you brought up Ben Roethlisberger where it's just like,
no reason.
Just like, no, no, no.
No reason.
None.
Well, except for the fact that...
No.
What?
No.
Except please. For what fact?
No.
You wanted it, you wanted to ask about
two Super
Russell
Bowl
no.
victories,
no.
three appearances.
So what? Eli Manning, two Super Bowl wins.
Bob Greasy.
Eli Manning, two Super Bowl wins. He's not in the conversation.
Bob Greasy should have his gold jacket revoked.
Okay. Yeah. And then neither him and Ben would have a gold jacket.
Shame on you. Now we've gone off.
That
the
was
rail.
Just me.
Thus ends Fresh Takes presented by Zaxby's.
Let's get to it.
All right, let's get to it. But I think Steve Young, by the way, Steve Young is another guy who is better than Drew Brees, right?
If I were forced to pick a quarterback to quarterback my team, yes, I would take Steve
so
Young.
So just to finish it.
Brady, Montana, Marino, Elway, Young, and
probably Russell Wilson.
Maybe Russell, right.
Maybe eventually Russell Wilson.
If he keeps this going.
For now, I will put Brees ahead of Russell Wilson.
Anyone else there, Spaghetti? You haven't jumped in here yet.
What about Phil Sims?
Yeah, assuming you guys like it.
Hostetler took over under adverse circumstances, and all he did was beat them Buffalo Bills.
Two words if he had the coaching. Dave Brown.
I just assume you guys like Eli was one, and you're trying to figure out two.
Yeah,
like,
the six, exactly.
No, I'm kidding. The problem with this, though, and I've seen a lot of people talk about it on Twitter, and now Dave was involved, is like half the group is like, well, winning matters the most. The other half is like, stats matter the most, and a little bit of, I guess, on-field talent. And
eyeballs.
There's no real middle.
It's all three. All those
it's all three. You got to win. You got to be able to see they got the talent, and you got to have the stats.
Got to look good doing it.
All right, let's go. Let's do it.
Nobody mentioned Troy Aikman. He's the other guy.
I like Troy.
Love Troy, but
he was not asked to do
what these guys were asked to do.
All right, let's get to it. It's time for the Week 16. We only have two more weeks of regular season football, fellas.
We're still going to throw challenge flags in the postseason.
I guess so. Here we go. Red challenge
flag picks.
All right. Here we go. Bills fresh off a victory in Heinz Field. Josh Allen.
One of us picked that, right?
That defense, nifty. The Buffalo Bills.
So one of us picked that, right?
You know what? I give you credit, money. And in fact, if I would have had my stuff together, I would have honored you by pulling that clip where you said that all the underdog story. We've talked about it all season long. I'm not surprised. I haven't said that Duck Hodges is ever going to win a game
for Pittsburgh.
Oh, pull
it for this pod. Yeah, you put it out there on the social media.
You're right. No, you nailed that one. But now they go into Foxborough. The bummer to me is that the Bills, even in victory here, don't put themselves ahead of them in the AFC East. It's still highly likely that the Patriots not only win the division but get one of those byes that puts them on track to at least reach the title game.
Right.
A little bit.
A little bit.
But I do think that this would be another dent in the dynastic run of the Patriots, and the Bills would elevate their sense of self a little bit, although they've had a number of great performances of late that I think probably validate them already, but vanquishing the divisional bully would elevate it even further. So, Handsome Hank, it's your division after all. You like them Dolphins. Bills, Patriots. Bills are America's team as of a week ago. Choose.
I'm going to choose the Patriots.
Nah, I can't throw it.
I really want to pick the Bills.
No spaghetti,
and
no
I can
money.
See it happening, but I just and yeah, I just no,
yeah,
I want to
pick the Bills terribly.
But, I feel like
you know what? I will.
Okay.
I'll take them.
Good for you.
I'll take them. I'll
explain
take that defense.
Why.
Defense, all three levels. Tom Brady struggled against the, you know, a pretty darn talented Bengals defense for a good chunk of that game before it got away from him. And it got away from him because of four turnovers by the Bengals, not because the defense was letting up too much. They were just on the field for too long. Tre'Davious White, I mean, Edmonds is unreal. The defensive line.
He really is.
He is fantastic. And I think they can get – it's just – it's been the formula all season. And I think it's kind of one of those I've seen enough of it. I have seen this enough to believe that John Brown is enough of a playmaker on the outside to open things up for Devin Singletary to get things done. I wish they had one more playmaker. Mm-hmm. You know, if that team had one more playmaker like a – you know, just a Keenan Allen, an Antonio Brown, someone who didn't need a lot of time to get you that – that open receiver to get rid of the ball so you don't have to hang on too long. I'd feel a lot better. And I think that's obviously, and that's what's great about this Bills team is it lines up in a draft that is flush with receivers. Right. I mean, you've got seven or eight guys that'll get first round grades for the Bills to go out and maybe pluck two of them to help this team out for future years. But I think they have enough. I do. I think it'll be another close game, and I've seen enough from Josh Allen where he makes good decisions late in the game to get wins. You know, that's what he did against Pittsburgh.
Boy, when you smother teams the way that defense does, I'm telling you, it's an effect. I always point to you have to have a bye to get to a Super Bowl. The last decade pretty much proves that. But that kind of a team that's going to, when they get in, they're going to be have a devil-may-care kind of spirit about them. They start shutting down the home team. It will turn by halftime disadvantageous for the home team if they're doing that to them. I think in this case, obviously the defense is the headline with these Bills. But I also feel like now Joe Mixon had his way against this Patriots defense. And we were having conversations eight games through about the Patriots not just being the best defense this year, but one of the best of the century and all that. I don't feel like that's the case any longer. I think that if you're waiting for this defense to save the day for New England, I think you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
I can see Devin Singletary and company having a day on them up there. I do think, though, I'm going to stick with the Patriots. Yeah.
I really want to change my pick now.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of do.
No, I think you want to. I think you can make enough of a case that I'll throw it that we don't have to all four be on the same page. But
the other thing that the Bills defensive tackles in particular have been able to consistently get pressure. Jordan Phillips has been a guy that has really stepped up for the team, and I just knowing that what the interior of that Patriots offensive line looks like when I was there a couple weeks ago for the Chiefs game. They were not excited about the interior of their offensive line.
Well, and Chris Jones is exceptional.
Exactly. And you're going to see the same thing with the guys that they have in there. I could see between that and then the guys that the Bills have in the secondary, Brady having not very long to get rid of the ball, and then his receivers, who he's out of tune with already, leaving him in a bad situation where Tre'Davious White is there to get a couple of plays. I'm going to reverse my pick.
I love it. That's exciting. That's very fun. By the way, just to finish up where we were a week ago, Money, I stand by Josh Allen. I accuse me of recency bias, if you will. That's fine.
You're number one guy from the
I'd rather
the draft.
Have Josh Allen than Baker Mayfield. I think Lamar Jackson is different, and Lamar Jackson requires that you scheme around him, obviously. If you just dropped him in on any team and they said, yeah, You have to throw from the pocket. I don't think that would work out.
I don't necessarily disagree with you there. I just feel like
circumstance.
The young quarterbacks that have beaten the Patriots so far this season, Mahomes, Lamar, and Deshaun Watson, are all like a problem. Where in a way that I'm just not sure Josh. I think Josh Allen can be thrown out by Belichick, who's going to have whatever cooked up for him with that defense, which I agree with you is not as good as it was couple months ago, but will still be very capable of disrupting him.
I'll throw one out there for you again, because I feel like when you call me a homer, I have to say something. I think the Jets are going to win this week. I think the Jets are going to beat Pittsburgh.
Bonus pick. Now put it in there, Raby.
Here we go. Saturday night game.
I'm throwing a flag on that.
You think the Jets will lose?
Yes.
I don't know. All right. Anyhow, Rams at Niners, a classic NFC West tilt here. A lot of good games between these. I think so.
Yeah.
You know,
it always looks good as well. Here's what I wish they would do: wear the red and wear the blue. There's no reason for them not to.
It's a good point.
I like when that. Yeah, the all, I wouldn't mind the Rams going in the all gold.
In the nice blue. Yeah. Oh no, not the gold. No,
the gold's not too bad. Looks nice against a team in red. Don't you remember the Chiefs game in the
very Christmassy?
Look, yeah, exactly. All right, here we go. Matt Money Smith, mm-hmm. Rams, Niners. Jeez.
Niners.
Nobody?
No.
No.
All right, we can make quick work of that one. I guess we like the Niners. Yeah. I excused the Niners in advance of that game. You could see that if there were, given the stretch that led up to the Falcons game last week, that and then what's upcoming with these Rams and then the finishing up.
I think they have to be careful of not looking ahead again this week as well.
Yeah, I think because the Rams should have won that game, the fact that Zerlein missed, what was it, a 44-yard or something like that, which he almost never does, I would assume it makes it easy not to look past it. But, yeah, I mean, look, what do they want to do? They want to run the ball down your throats. What did the Cowboys just do? 200-yard backs, broken tackles all over the place. Excuses, again, for Jared Goff. His poor little thumb hit a helmet and all that crap from the L.A. media. I'm over it. So wear it.
Listen, the thing with Jared Goff is for all the money.
Really, I'm getting excuses about Jared Goff
sitting in his hot tub in Malibu. You
know, in light of the circumstances, Jared Goff fought off. Whatever.
All the guys you don't pay.
He's been terrible.
Right. Well, listen, at his best, forget how lousy he's been for long stretches this year. Just in general, is he at his high end? Is he anything better than a mid-level
best
QB?
No,
right, like, I mean, that's
a terrible
decision. If Jared
Goff
has everything break his way, is he the fact that he was at some point last year an MVP candidate?
There were stretches last year where he was playing like a top three or four quarterback.
I know,
but I think we all accepted that was in scheme with someone
Todd Gurley before he fell apart.
With Todd Gurley at his best, with the defense at their best. Yep. You can afford to let loose when that's happening.
Next up, we go with the Saints at the Titans. This one feels big. I think the Titans don't have to have this one unless they...
Yeah, they do.
They don't, not to get a wild
Gotcha. I was thinking division. They got to win this. Division, they need the Bucs to do them a favor and then knock off.
The Texans...
Is out of that. Even with two wins, I think they'll know things go their way. The Titans...
Yeah.
By the time the Titans hit the field on Sunday, they'll know what they need to do. If the Texans beat the Bucs on Saturday... The division is over with, and then it becomes a question, will they play Deshaun and company in Week 17, which has major wild card implications, because whether you know it or not, I think some Steelers fans and Titans fans out there are looking at that, the Week 16. We have to beat the Saints, and the Steelers need to lose to the Jets, or if the Steelers beat the Jets and we lose to the Saints, it's a wrap. Untrue. The Steelers can beat the Jets and lose to the Ravens as long as the Titans beat the Texans in Week 17.
They would then make
they get the wild card. So it's that's still up in the air. All that being said, Eddie Spaghetti, Saints.
Go, Edward.
Titans. Oh, really? A musical matchup here. Choose.
I hope the Titans win. They're a team that's easy to root for. You always talk about story of the year, team of the year. I just like them.
Right.
I'm afraid that they may have played their best ball or peak a little too early. Tannehill is a guy that deserves a job after this year.
All right, pick it.
Make just your pick
again,
fella.
That's not
first
how, this
isn't pick
how I'm not picking. I'm not.
You just say the team
pick
name.
It.
I'm not picking against the Drew Brees who in the Saints.
So you're picking the Saints. I'm not.
There you go. I'm throwing.
You're taking
much
Titans.
You're picking the Titans.
I'm picking the Titans.
Are you?
I am.
Oh.
Tell us
it was because it was an odd start. It was just such a wonky start to that game
last week.
last week.
Right.
And then they kind of settled down, and it's like, oh, okay, so this is the Titans team I was waiting for. And unfortunately, yeah, you waited 2.5 quarters yeah. before you woke up and imposed your will on a Texans team. I don't know what happened. You had a turnover, a reception at the goal line that was popped out right before you broke the plane, and that would have been a touchdown, and instead was a turnover. So I think too much.
I think the other way. I think the Texans had a terrible call against them that almost caused that could have cost them the game and therefore the division. And Deshaun Watson had a weird, wonky pick at the goal line.
He did. But so did Tannehill.
Yeah, I'm just saying that. So those two. I think that's a lot.
But all those are good reasons why they should have won the game last week. I'm still not sure I understand how they're going to beat the Saints this week.
I just think they're a very good team. It's speaking to our home road splits for Drew Brees and the Saints outside of the dome in Tennessee. I know it's not Lambeau Field, but it's still cold. There's still elements that they'll have to contend with. And I think this defense, look, Deshaun Watson is able to extend plays and make magic, and Drew Brees has got to be on schedule. And I just like the front, specifically the interior push they get with Casey and Simmons on this team. And I like the ability to sustain 8-9 minute drives, you know, with Derrick Henry and keep that Saints explosive offense with Michael Thomas off the field. You know, like I said, you saw with A.J. Brown last week, you know, they are just a load to contend with. So,
boy, he's dynamite, A.J. Brown.
He really is.
Those receivers, though.
Yeah, I think the Titans
I think they're
are in
all
the game.
Great. I think, like we talked about.
Oh, by the way, last thing. Their tackles, the fact that their defensive line is decimated, you know, so you're going to be running right at that line that is down Davenport at the end and Rankins in the interior.
Well, Derrick Henry's out there, but he's not 100%.
He did not look 100% last week.
Right, and that's the difference. If Derrick Henry...
Time to get Deion Lewis more involved, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
You would think.
I think I also think for...
I'm not out yet. Maybe it's confirmation bias that I predicted they would win the South and then they would be a team that could make a potential run. And so perhaps that's creeping in here that I'm trying to keep that thing going because I was so adamant about it. But I just like the team.
I think I think Pittsburgh loses its last two, and I think that the Texans will win, and that will put the Titans into the playoffs because – if you're holding out hope that maybe the Texans will stumble against Jameis and company, I think football fans may not like hearing this, but your heroes, what they love is a week off and the promise of if you guys win this game, the division's a wrap, and then you can put your feet up in week 17, I think is enticing. Same thing for Lamar Jackson and company. People who are holding out hope that maybe the Browns will get him again. I think that those guys are going to be fired up from Baltimore to end the season and take a couple of weeks off. So I think I do think the Saints will win this week, though, but I think that the Titans win week 17 down in Houston. Next up, the division on the line, the NFC East. We should have had Spaghetti choose this one.
Have him
it's
choose
the
it.
Cowboys.
I don't need to choose it.
You're right.
Take
you're
it,
right.
Spaghetti.
It's the Cowboys at the Eagles, 7-7-7, as far as the eye can see. More 7-7 than a holiday party.
Hey, now. Right?
C-. Eddie Spaghetti. Shoes.
You got a matchup with the second and third best quarterbacks in the NFC East here. I'm going to go with the Eagles at home.
Bang! I'm going to throw it righty
all,
at
all
you.
All three? Oh, I got to throw it. Mind you, Dax, word's coming out today. Dax's a little banged up. Yeah. All right. Injured Dak.
All right.
I just think the Cowboys are just a team that beats other mediocre teams. They don't really beat good teams. And I'm not saying the Eagles are a good team. I know they just struggled with Washington. But if you're Carson Wentz, you know how big this game is for your career. And talking about a guy that has a bunch of weight in his back for – he has to perform. You have the home crowd. It's a great home field advantage. And just the Cowboys just I team just, I just
see,
don't trust. I just don't trust them.
That's what I disagree with. It's a great home crowd. Not if they get down two scores. Then it becomes bad for them.
Right, but if they go up 10, 13 points, all of a sudden the Cowboys players are going to feel rattled. Garrett's going to – they don't respect Garrett as it is, especially in the cold weather if Dak is injured or if it's any significant injury. I could see things getting out of hand for the Cowboys, and they're just going to lose all hope, and they're going to
I disagree with you about that, too. There's not a lot of evidence that the players don't respect or don't play for Jason Garrett. Every time – and not this year and not just last year. I mean, for a half decade at least. Every time it's like, well, Jason Garrett, that's it.
He's done.
Good run.
He's cooked.
Good run. The team rises up around him or otherwise and wins games, and I think they're going to win the division by banging away with 21. Right. They're gonna ride. Our pal Cousin Sal predicts, and because he's been bitten by his Cowboys in the past for this, that they're going to beat the Eagles and then lose to the Skins and lose the division in it's week possible. 17. We've seen that before. But
that's not possible.
I think it is.
No, they'd have the sweep on the Eagles, so they wouldn't be able to lose the division.
If they lost.
If they beat the Eagles and lose to the Skins, they win the division.
Sal's a dummy.
Dummy.
I mentioned that.
Sal, you dummy.
Is anybody going to try to make a case for...
I think Carson Wentz is the better quarterback.
Is he?
I think so.
Carson Wentz is the better quarterback.
That was the thing. I took issue with is I'm not sure. Like, yes, Carson Wentz is under pressure, but so is Dak. I mean, but this is a high-pressure game. This is for both teams. They know they need to win this to get to the playoffs. I don't think Dak is like, well, I'm not feeling the pressure now. He's got a contract that he still needs to get done. He has his head coach, maybe his career riding on him. I would say that there's all the reason in the world.
It's funny, if Dak does lose this game, then it does lend some to the conspiracy theorists out there who say maybe Tom Brady goes to America's team next year.
Not a bad idea.
Too late. He's already been promised away to the Los Angeles Chargers by Dave Dameshek.
Right?
Yeah.
I already
put him down there. They can have Old Man Rivers down in Big D in 2020. I doubt that's going to happen.
That'd be interesting too.
All right. I don't think it goes that way. And then, of course, we have Cam Newton, who's got to find a new home.
Right.
It's starting to feel like Derek Carr may not belong for the silver
and black. There's an interesting
one.
Phillip Rivers in a Raider uniform. Ooh, jeez. How about that one?
In Vegas.
That wouldn't be a Gruden guy.
That's a total Gruden guy.
But I mean, at this stage.
Rich Gannon, Brad Johnson. I need a guy with a sharp brain to run my offense and all the verbiage and terminology and checks at the line. And
I don't know how happy Philip and the family
Tom Brady
would be in Vegas.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
shoot.
Point.
Sin City might not be the place that you'd find.
Maybe they establish, a nice Catholic church.
That could be, yeah.
Right there on the strip.
Turn around the whole city's reputation.
From Sin City to Redemption City. Yes, to Saved City.
Saved City.
Yes, Salvation City.
Yes.
There you go.
All right, let's bring it on home here, fellas. An NFC North tilt. Packers, Vikings, Handsome Hank. Choose.
I'm going to take the Vikings.
Oh, I'm surprised. All right, I'm going to drop it there. No one's going to take Aaron Rodgers, not Eddie Spaghetti, not anybody.
I mean, there's a lot of, looking at the Packers, you're like, yeah, I can see the results. I see that you get wins, but none of it is particularly impressive on either side of the ball, including Aaron Rodgers. And on the other hand, the Vikings
that defense,
keep flying
man.
Under the radar, and their defense
Danielle
is...
Hunter, look out. Like, that guy... granted, look what I saw, a 7 turnover game, but man, that guy, his get off, his hands, they're Bosa-esque, where just anytime he's near the quarterback, those hands are all over the place. Created two of the forced fumbles he had. That's the difference. Great. The Packers defense is better. The Vikings defense, I think their secondary is a little overrated, specifically the corners, but the front's very good. And Kendricks is very good.
Yep.
How about this? This little nugget from that game.
By the way, you basically just said it, so now I have to insert my voice into it to validate
to make it so.
I just think that performance by the Vikings in a weekend that felt like it had a lot of other games that distracted from what the Vikes did, man, they handled the Chargers. I thought the Chargers with a devil may care attitude would take.
Well, they
care
were
of the
there
Vikes.
For 29 minutes and 45 seconds, and then
right.
Rivers, you can't take a sack, you can't turn the ball over,
right.
Sack, fumble, touchdown, and instead of being 13-12 going into half, it's 19-10.
Boy, the pick that fell through, and then the turnover, and then the ball bounds the way
it does. Brutal.
That ended that game. But yeah, remember, Dalvin Cook wasn't out there for the vast majority of it. Dalvin Cook does need to be out there this time. I think that's key that he's ready to go and not hampered by injury there, because I do love that secondary for Green Bay.
The nugget I mentioned.
Yeah, sorry.
Eric Kendricks leads that team in passes defensed.
Hmm.
And the reason why that's so important is, Eckler was not able to get going, because normally if Rivers is standing there and he sees a linebacker matched up on Eckler, he's like, there it is, coming for you, and that's why Eckler's going to have 1,000 receiving yards this year as a running back. Kendricks is with him step for step, and he's been doing that all season long, and it makes things so hard on guys like Rodgers, like Rivers, that want to go to that pass, right, to that running back, and that's just such a difference maker to have on a defense and what he's able to do. Because, again, Rhodes and Waynes and Hughes and all the draft equity they've spent on defensive backs, they're good, but I think they're a little bit overrated. Harrison Smith's been fantastic. So I think when you talk about Smith at the safety, and you do have very good, but, good corners. But, man, Kendricks at linebacker and that defensive line with Linval and Daniil, and man, that is a load to deal with.
Yeah, it feels to me like it's sad to say about Aaron Rodgers, but if you can take away Davante Adams, and they should be able to do that, then
not a lot else going on right now.
Make 12 beat you, and I think the Vikes emerge victorious in this one. And that's it. That's it for us for the Week 16.
Before we go, I got you a gift.
Oh, thank you for
that. Very nice of you.
It's a Julian Edelman
Nutcracker wearing a Cowboys helmet.
Hello, is he wearing a Cowboys helmet?
Kinda.
That's kind of a prediction.
Here we go. Can I get a single on this one? Where am I
going? There he goes. Crack a nut.
There we go.
Drink some nog.
Hey, Dave.
Do whatever you're supposed to do around
me
the holidays.
With tales
go
of
do your shopping.
Ben Roethlisberger and how great he is.
I didn't even bring him up.
You know did what? Bring him up.
I brought him
exactly
up only to
did.
Say I wasn't going to bring him up. It's the only thing I brought, up about
him. Tell me about Roger Staubach, but with the pretext of Terry Bradshaw, please. Could you do that?
I need to see this laser about my throw. All right. Thanks
please.
So much, football fans.
Tell me about Mike Tomczak, please. When you're
tell you about Bubby Brisket.
All right.
Thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of happiness.